Hey, y'all, it's Eric again with the I'ma Keep Going podcast. And I told you before about Buzzsprout. Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you again how easy it is and how it's the best way to launch and promote your podcast. I mean, it doesn't take long at all to be online and set it up with the major platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other ones. They've helped over 100,000 people get their message out to the world. And in all honesty, all you really need is some small gear like a microphone and a laptop and a quiet place to start recording your dreams. Plus, they'll give you the tools that you need to determine how many people are listening to your podcast and the tools to help you grow it. So what are you waiting on, y'all? Come on. Click the link on the show notes to get started and get a $20 Amazon gift card after you sign up with a paid plan. Easy peasy lemon squeezy, I promise you. So check it out, y'all. It's Buzzsprout, the easiest way to make a podcast. Hello there, and welcome to the I'ma Keep Going podcast, or as I like to call it, the IKG. Of course, my name is Eric, and I thank you so much for listening in and for always tuning in. And my goal with the IKG is to make sure that you have something to listen to and you know, get solace in knowing that everything will be all right. And I'll be honest with you, last week was pretty much of a whirlwind of things for me because I had some family situations happening, and it caused me to focus more on my immediate circumstances, which is why I hadn't really been too vocal on the Facebook page. And if you don't know, the Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/ I'ma Keep Going. My focus on the Facebook page is all about motivation and inspiration and, you know, just being able to give some really good insight. But last week it was mainly family first, so I had to make sure that I was good with that. But make no mistake about it, I'm still here for the cause, y'all. And I'm still here to make sure that you're having a good week or a month or, you know, whatever. And I'm here to give you great insight like I always do. Something to make your life better, you know. Now, for my segment called Posted, I was going to talk about one of the posts from last week, but some good news happened to me. As a side note, last week I read my horoscope on Monday and it said that this week was going to be a pretty awful week to start with, but it was going to end awesome. And in a nutshell, that's kind of what happened. Monday, it started off sucking ass, you know, pretty bad, actually, because of what happened with my twin sister. And yeah, I have a twin sister, y'all, if you don't know, which is pretty awesome in itself. But not to get too much into detail with it, but it was a troubling event that ended up being pretty good. And all I'll say is, y'all, whatever you do, please do what you can to stay healthy and active. Even if it's one day a week, 2 days a week, preferably 3 days a week, doing some type of activity, whether it be walking, running, exercising, cardio, whatever. Just do something, y'all. Just don't stay sedentary and sit in the house. You know, not to say that that's what happened or whatever, but I'm just saying, please, whatever you do, just maintain a healthy lifestyle, because what you do now will have an impact on what happens to you later. But the awesome part of all of this was something that my mom found when she was packing up some old stuff from my old house. She found a journal that I had with some of my old poems, letters, and stories that I had written to myself. And it dated back to 2004. So from 2004 all the way to 2009, there was a series of poems and letters and stuff that I had written in my journal, and I completely forgot about them. In fact, I forgot I wrote some of the actual poems. And well, let me tell you a little something about me. So when I write something, I forget about it after it's written down on paper. It's almost like it's not meant for me to remember it, you know, because it has a moment. And when it has that moment, I write it down. Whatever it is, whether it's heavy on my heart or whatever, I just write it down. I say what's on my mind and I forget about it. So I went down memory lane with these letters and I felt all kind of old feelings coming back, y'all. It was, I mean, some of them were really unforgettable experiences that, you know, I'm kind of ashamed of, but others were moments that I'm very, very proud of. And above all else, these are moments that made me the person that I am today. And that was the awesome thing that happened to me at the end of the week. In fact, it happened on Saturday, and that was actually really cool because I was having a pretty ho-hum week all the way up until that Friday and then going into that Saturday morning. But at the end of the day, that Saturday evening is when I received it. And it felt really good to be able to see some of the old things that I had written down. It definitely gave me a boost in confidence and in my mental health, because I believe that my mental health was taking a hit last week. And it gave me that boost that I needed to get right back with my mind again, because it just let me know that I still got it, and I still got the words. I still have the emotions. I still have the courage and the wisdom, and I still motivate, you know. And because of those letters and poems, it ended up evoking one of those feelings, whether it be a feeling of courage, of wisdom and emotion, whatever. And I'm very, very proud of who I became, y'all, because of that. So, yeah, Mama, thank you for finding those lost emotions, I guess you can say, for me. Now, with that being said, I mentioned last week on the Quick One episode that this month is going to be all about focusing on mental health. And I had a thought that crossed my mind recently. Who helps the helpers? You know, like, for instance, who do the medical professionals and the counselors turn to whenever they need counseling or professional help or mental health, or even if they even have a support system to begin with? So I recently had a conversation with Rachel Thomas, and she's a licensed professional counselor that deals with at-risk youth and mental health. And I brought her on so I can ask her those questions, as well as other questions regarding mental health and the state of society and how important it is to have that knowledge and to help others who are suffering, you know, from those situations that they feel are beyond their control of thinking. And it was a really great conversation, y'all, but don't take my word for it. So enjoy this conversation. Listen for yourself. Be informed with Ms. Rachel Thomas. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining in to another episode of the I'ma Keep Going podcast. Of course, my name is Eric, and I thank you very much for listening in. And as you know, this particular month, the month of August, for me and for the podcast, is going to be mainly about mental health and just the idea of, because so many things are going on right now, just the idea of how important it is to have a healthy mental mindset, I guess you can say. And a little backstory of this, the thought process behind this is, I was thinking about one day just watching Superman versus Batman, just randomly watching it or whatever. And I thought came to my head, like, man, who helps Superman whenever he's down and out, you know? And then my mind went down a little bit of a rabbit hole and started going into like therapy and things like that, because I have a therapist that I go to. And, you know, who helps them? And that has been a lingering question on my mind for about a good month and a half now. And I'm glad to have someone that I can speak with about that, about not only the importance of mental health and the importance of everything going on right now, how pertinent it is to have somebody on your corner, someone who can help you through these trials and through these times of COVID-19 and you know, racism and everything that's going on in the United States and in the world today. So I have the ever so awesome, super lovely Miss Rachel Thomas here.
And hi.
Yes. And she is going to help us navigate through some of the questions that I have, and also just ask her, like, who helps you, you know, whenever you need help. Because I know, again, mental health is something that's not, it's everyone need. Everyone has to have someone to talk to, I believe. And yeah, so welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast, Ms. Rachel. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get right to it. So tell me a little bit about what you do and about how you do it and why you do it.
Okay. Well, I'm an LPC, licensed professional counselor, and I've been an LPC almost 5 years now. And I work primarily with at-risk youth ages 5 to 21. At this time, I currently do assessments on them and diagnose them with mental illness. And I think, I don't know, I went to, I worked at a summer camp like my sophomore year in college up in New York. And it was a camp that focused on kids with behavioral issues, social issues, and mental health issues. And after spending 9 weeks in New York, and I just came back and I was just like, I feel like this is what I want to do. I want to work with kids. It's kind of like a passion. And I think I have more tolerance with kids than I do adults. My patience with adults is very sharp, but I'm able to be more tolerant with kids because I just feel like they just need so much, and a lot of them just aren't getting what they need in their home. So
I agree with that. I agree, especially now, you know, with the social media age and how I guess a lot of kids, younger kids, ages, you know, 5 through 21, a lot of times they look at social media as the thing, the end all be all. And the way things are portrayed on there, you know, it almost gives them this false sense of, I won't say hope, but it's almost like it gives them a false sense of identity, you know, when it comes to the things that you see on social media and how they feel they should be portrayed on social media. And I'm glad you decided to go that route, because you got to start with the kids. I've always said that, you know, I know you said earlier that, you know, when it comes to adults or whatever, it's a little bit different as opposed to kids having conversations with kids and things like that. But after coming back from New York and realizing that you needed to do that, was there like was it a light bulb moment for you, or was it something that just like you just began to kind of look at the landscape of how everything was going and you just like, you know what, I need to do something about this?
It was one particular kid that I had. I think it was the first session. And she was a kid that was hard of hearing, and she only used sign language to communicate. And it was just like, I guess the relationship that I formed with her, like I remember taking one day off during the camp. And, you know, when I came back that night, the other counselors in the bunk, and they were like, she just acted so horrible because weren't here. And I was just like, oh my, I went and talked to her. I was like, even though I'm still off, I went and talked to her, like, you know, why are you doing that? You know, these other people, they're here for you, you know. But it was just that one particular kid, like, she really opened up my eyes. And I had another kid that had autism. And, you know, that gave me because I really wasn't familiar with autism at that time. And I guess those days, it really wasn't a very popular diagnosis either. But, and it was just learning more about those mental illnesses. It just kind of was like, okay, this is interesting. Because that really wasn't my undergraduate. I didn't have my undergraduate degree in that. That wasn't my major. But it was just something that kind of sparked my interest.
And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of times especially when it comes to school and when it comes to majors and things, colleges and things like that, a lot of times people have majors and they'll be so dead set on what it is they want to do. Like, OK, this is what I'm going to school for. This is what I am going to finish. And this is how I'm going to do my career. But having a situation like that with you and, you know, when it came to dealing with the kids, you realized, hey, you know what? I may have went to school for this, but I believe my fascination or my calling, it may be with this. Is that something that happened to you?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Because at that point, I was going into my junior year, so it really wasn't no change in majors either.
Right.
So it was like, you roll with this. And then, you know, I got a degree, undergrad degree in health sciences. So it's, you know, kind of a broad subject, but I had a concentration on physical therapy. But I was like, just roll with it, and then we'll see where we're going to go for grad school and see how we can use this undergraduate degree to get into grad school.
Right. And it worked out in your favor, because as you can see, like you said, you know, you're in a job that I mean, again, I can't put words in your mouth or anything, but my assumption is it's a fulfilling job, you know, not to say that your other that your degree wouldn't have been fulfilling either, but seeing as though this is something that is, it plays a significant role when it comes to kids and when it comes to being able to help the kids, because like I said in a few minutes ago, it starts with the kids, you know.
Right.
If you can give some type of insight to the kids, you know, if you can have them, encourage them and have them feeling like, you know what, I think I can do something better than what it is that I'm subjected to online or on social media or even, you know, at home or whatever, you know, it just feels like, I believe it feels like a much better passion, I guess you can say, or a much better, it has a much better feeling for you, I would think, versus one of the other jobs. Am I right with that?
Right. I would agree. I always say I do love my job. And the way it works with me is I meet with a kid and then I go back and meet with them again in 6 months to reassess them. And when you have a kid and you go back in 6 months, we're at the 12-month mark and you've seen the progress that they've made, it's like, wow, okay, it's working. Something is working. Somebody's doing something right. And that is what really makes the job great, just seeing that progress in those kids, as well as the families, because, you know, a lot of times the parents have to change some of their parenting as well.
So. Right. Was it something that you decided to do, like, just on your own, like, after you assess them one, you know, the first time, and then in 6 months you decide to go back, or is that something that was just a part of the responsibility of the job that you have?
Yeah, it's definitely a requirement, and that's just to be able to keep them in our program. They have to be reassessed to make sure that they still qualify for the program.
Okay, and how often does that happen where I guess someone doesn't, like, the when you have that initial conversation with them and you see that it may take a little bit longer to assess the issues that may be going on at hand, do you have to go a little bit further than, you know, that first time, that initial consult, and then, you know, further down, like a 6 month time? Or I guess my question is, have you ever had an experience where you've had to talk to one person multiple times over, like maybe once every other month or once a month or something like that?
Well, for me personally, I don't. But when I was in the position prior to this one, doing what my coworkers do, I was at the home twice a month meeting with the families.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Do you think, I'm sorry, I keep asking 1,001 questions, but I'm very, I'm very curious about this, because I myself feel like I'm in the shift now. You know, I'm in a different type of mm-hmm. industry right now, more of a sales industry, but I feel more of a shift in helping in mentoring and helping others and being able to become a catalyst in someone's life, you know, to help them either one, get to the next level in their life, or two, understand why they're here to begin with, or understand, you know, their responsibility or their role in whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. And I feel strongly towards that. So again, pardon me if I ask you 1,001 questions about it. Do you ever get any kickback from the parents? I guess based on your style of counseling?
It can be difficult. A lot of parents are very much set in their ways. They're the type of parents where I was raised like this, so this is how I'm gonna raise my kids, you know. And that is the tough part, kind of change their mindset and shift them a little bit to kind of see, you know, the times are a little bit different than from when you may have grown up and when your parents were raising you. You have to adjust to the child. So yeah, a lot of times that's the case.
Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it 100%, because, you know, me being, you know, my age or whatever, I'm, you know, I'm 40, 42 or about to be 42. And, you know, obviously the way we were taught and we were raised is completely opposite of the way we should raise and teach our kids now. My wife and I, we always have this this debate on how we should punish our child, you know, in terms of, mm-hmm. and not, you know, not necessarily whooping or anything like that, but just the idea of being able to chastise the child or whatever. And, you know, some people still have that old way of thinking that, okay, you know, they got whoopings before, so, you know, mm-hmm. I got a whooping, so why can't I whoop my child?
And I'm all right.
Right. I came out just fine. Me, you know, but again, like you said a few seconds ago, this is a different day and age. You know, it's not the same anymore like it used to be. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, what happened? And I know this may not be something that you can answer. I don't know. But and you may be able to. Like, what do you think happened that caused that shift in the way we were raised versus the way we raise children now? Like, what do you think may have happened?
I think technology plays a big part, but outside of technology, I think our parents, I think they were home more. I mean, a lot of parents these days, True. You know, they have to work 2 and 3 jobs to, you know, care for their kids, or the father's not in the home, or things like that. I think back then too, we also had more people helping. Like, you know, it was times when, you know, my parents were at work, I was at my grandmother's house, I was at the neighbor house or the lady across the street house.
Right.
But nowadays it's a little bit different. You know, parents don't really, they don't want you to tell their child anything. So.
Right. I remember a little funny story. I remember back when I was in the third grade, and this was back in the time when we were able to get, we used to get paddled. They call it paddled. And we had, you remember that? Did you ever?
Yeah.
So we used to get paddled, like, you know, because our, and I remember one time in particular, you know, I was being a jerk in school, you know, just being a class clown or whatever. And, I remember the principal came in, and grabbed me or whatever, and brought me into the principal's office. And he said, I'm about to call your mom right now. And I'm like, you can call her, you know, because I already knew my mom wasn't going to sign off on him paddling me. Right. I already knew it. I knew it. And so she came to the school. And when she came to the school, she was like, OK, so what happened? And I had to, crying in tears or whatever, say, I made a joke in class and the teacher got mad and, you know, whatever. Oh, it's so funny. I could still remember this like it was yesterday. And so she said, OK, let's go to the class right now. And so I went in front of the class, in front of everybody. And I said, I'm sorry, Miss Hayes. I'm so sorry. And I just boohoo crying. Everybody was laughing and snickering and whatever. And I'm thinking that, okay, I've got it. Okay, I'm good. You know, I've apologized. I could go back to my desk. And she said, no, we're going back to the principal's office. Don't you know this woman sat up there and paddled me? And like she took the paddle from the principal. She was like, nope, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. And she... Obviously, she gave a little bit extra juice on the paddle, you know, versus what the principal would have done. And I'm like, you know, what? That's not fair, you know. But anyway, I just found that funny because it's such a stark contrast from how things are now. It's like you can't even touch the child. Obviously, you can't touch the child or anything like that. But it's almost as if now you can't even call the parents, because sometimes the parents will even get defensive and get defiant. You know, I've had experiences where I've seen parents go to the school to try to fight the teacher. And I'm like, wow, you know, so yeah, I can understand that it can be a difficult time for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I did have another question for you though, because you mentioned earlier that you normally talk, or consult, from 5 to 21. Do you find it a little bit more difficult to talk to the younger kids, to get to them, versus to get to the older kids?
Definitely. I definitely prefer the older kids. Because with the younger kids, we're working with them, but we're not really working with them. I feel like we're more working with their parents.
Okay.
Because they really just don't understand. You know, some stuff they understand, but a lot of stuff they don't, they just don't understand. But the older kids, you know, you can talk to them real. You can, you know, kind of tell them some of your experiences, and they, you know, they can kind of see, okay, well, some, you know, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. So I definitely prefer the older kids.
The older kids, yeah. I would have assumed so too, because you know, like you said earlier, the older kids, you can have a like keep it real conversation. Like, look, let me tell you what's happening. You know, when it comes to the older kids, though, do you feel a lot of times they try to get on your level and they, you know, because I know when it comes to like teenagers and stuff, a lot of times they can be kind of pigheaded and stubborn. So do you find it a little bit more challenging to get, even though you can keep it real with them and talk to them normally, talk to them, you know, real, do you still find it a little bit of a challenge to get through to them more because they're stuck in their ways too?
Some of them, yeah, it's just, and I've gotten to the point where I have to tell myself, you know, you're not going to be able to save everybody. Some kids you can help, and some of them it's just too far gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We'd have missed, the ship has sailed. But some of them, for the most part, they'll listen and, you know, kind of take some of the, you can kind of tell just looking at them, like they taking it in, for the most part. Yeah.
You know, something you just said that kind of sparked me a little bit when you said that the you know, not that the ship has sailed a little bit, you know, at what point do you say, you know what? Okay. I got to let this go. There's nothing I can do. And if you ever do get to that point, then do you like recommend further therapy, further counseling or further assessment? Or do you just like kind of like say, okay, you know what? I think I'm just going to like let this one go and chop it to the game.
I think when it's a kid that has been in juvenile or to the juvenile detention center, you know, have had the probation terms, still haven't done what they've asked of them. You know, they won't go to school. They, you know, won't get a job. It's just like, okay, you're going to do what you want to do regardless. Apparently you're not going to listen to me and you're not listening to the court. So right. There's nothing else. If that is not enough to deter you, then I don't know what is. If you go into jail, not even juvenile jail, but regular jail at this point, you 17, 16, 17, 18, right, then it's nothing that I can say that's going to swear you either way, because you just don't care. So I would recommend that they, you know, keep their counselor, and even, you know, they may participate with the counselor, they may not, but at that point it's kind of up to the child, because once the child turns 18, you know, they can say, oh, I don't want these services anymore. So
oh,
it
wow.
kind of is what it is. Yeah.
Oh wow. So even if, so whenever they do get to the eight, like for instance, if someone is 17 and mm-hmm. they're about to turn 18 in like 6 months or whatever, once they turn 18 and you do a follow-up, they can just be like, no, I'm good.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't know that. I thought initially it would have to start, like however it started is how it would end. But wow, I didn't know that.
Unless they're like developmentally delayed.
Okay.
You know, once they're 18, they have to make the decision. You know, they have to say, I want these services.
Wow. I didn't know that. Yep. It's very interesting. That is very interesting, Rachel, because you would think that if I don't know, I would think that if it's working, then right. you would want to continue it to go on, continue it to work. But again, you know, again, when you turn 18, a lot of times kids think that they're grown when they're 18, you know, which, you right. know, according to the law, they are grown, you know, they're an adult. But, you know, you would think that they would still want some type of, you know, help or, you know, I don't know, or counseling or something. I don't know. It's, right. oh, man.
And I've heard kids say, like, we start when they're 17 and they are all right. Say, when I turn 18, you know, I'm not doing this no more. And then I've had other, you know, 18-year-olds be like, I need this program. Please, I need y'all to stay. Right. So, you know, it just depends.
And I guess that's where the comfort would lie, too, because you're like, For people who, I will say for every one person who doesn't want it, there's maybe like four or five people that say, you know what, I kind of need this. I'm glad I did this, you know?
Right.
I would think so. Yeah. So when it comes to the going back to the parents again, do you find yourself having to have conversations with them too? Like indirectly having conversations with them too, because, you know, sometimes like you'll be, I don't know if this may be a scenario or not for you, but I'm just going to paint a quick picture. Like, so imagine if you are having a conversation with one of the kids and the parent is in there, and you can see that there's obviously something going on or whatever, that the parent may need some assistance as well. Mm-hmm. Do you try to, and not you particularly, but would someone try to indirectly help the parent too, or do they have to go through the proper channels to seek some type of counseling or mental health?
So for the program I work with, there's another program that comes with it. They do offer parental support for the parent. Okay. So they can, you know, they're open to, if they want it, they can have it. But, you know, if I'm sitting down with a parent and we're talking and I'm, you know, and I see some things that, you know, may be concerning, you know, I'll ask them, so are you depressed or are you having any anxiety? And they tell me, well, yeah. And I'm like, well, do you want a counselor? Do you want to see somebody? We can go ahead and help you set that up. And that's kind of how that goes.
Okay. Okay. Do you see a lot of that happening now because of COVID-19? Like, do you see an influx of people needing assistance and needing counseling?
I would say more. I think it's going to come more once things start to return back to normal with the anxiety levels. But I see a lot more parents being stressed out because they're at home all the time with their kids. And I see, you know, a lot more stress. Parents telling me that they have a lot more stress than usual.
Yeah, I would think so. I was having a conversation with one of my friends today, and she was just saying, she said, man, you have no idea, Eric, how much stress I'm under right now. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? I mean, you know, you have a job, you know, you have, you have a really good job that allows you to work from home. You know, your kids are, your child is safe. Everything is going well. She was like, it's beyond that though. It's, you know, a lot of times because of everything that's going on right now and with the fact of knowing that you can't really do what you used to, I think a lot of times a lot of people now are just so upset about the things they used to be able to do, but they can't do anymore. And I think that's giving them a lot of anxiety, not to mention, you know, everything that's happening with the government and, you know, racism. And it's just a lot of things. And she said, Eric, it's beyond that. Like it's bigger than that. Like I can't pinpoint one particular thing, but all I know is I wake up with anxiety all over my face and I go to sleep with anxiety all over my face and I don't know what to do. And, you know, and I ended up talking with her and asking, you know, saying, hey, man, you may need to see a counselor or a therapist, because I did the same thing and I was feeling the same way. But I have a therapist now, and not to say that it'll help, but, you know, it'll at least alleviate, at least give you the opportunity to get out what it is that you need to get out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my question is, what do you say to people who don't feel like they need a therapist, but know that their world is topsy turvy? Like what type of advice would you give to someone like that?
I would still encourage them to get a therapist, as well as just dig deeper to see what type of natural supports they have around them. Because those, you know, we really big on natural supports. Who do you have? Who can you call in a time of need? Who do you have that you can count on? And let's bring them in, you know, let's sit down and talk with them as well and see, you know, how they can help you and in what ways they can help you.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, because it's a very trying time. And a lot of people a lot of people are still stuck in that mindset, especially when it comes to us in the Black community. We think, you know, a lot of people still feel like, you know, if you go see a counselor or somebody, then you're crazy.
Right.
They still have that stigma, you know, like, oh, you cry. I ain't crazy. I don't need to go see nobody. But yet your world.
They still in that. Let's pray it away.
Yeah. You know, I remember seeing something on social media, right, where it says, it's okay to pray and still have a counselor or something. It was something on the lines of that. You know, it's okay to pray and still have a counselor. And, you know, you have no idea how many people I've talked to about that. Like, you know, whenever I tell them I'm seeing a counselor, why can't you just pray about it? I'm like, well, I mean, I did pray about it and my prayer has led me to seek a counselor, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. Why do you think that is though, Rachel? You know, why do you think that's the case?
I think that's generational. Cause I even talked with my mom about it. I was like, that wasn't talked about, you know, when we were growing up. I don't remember anybody like, I'm going to see a counselor. You know, it was, oh, we're going to church on Sunday. We have a problem. You know, we might go in the back and talk to the pastor. We're going to pray. But I think that's just something that's generational, especially the older generation. That's just how they feel like they can deal with their problems. We're not telling nobody our business. I think that's in the Black culture too. You don't want people in your business. So we're just going to keep it to ourselves.
That's true. That's very true. And a lot of people don't understand that that's one of the worst things you can do, because if you're keeping it to yourself, then guess what? You're continuing to internalize it. And yep. It's just like I read somewhere where somebody said, you know, a rotten house can only hold for so long, you know,
right.
Before it begins to rot it, you know, from the inside out. And it's troubling to know that there are so many people out here who don't seek counseling, who don't seek professional help, especially when they know you got things going on in their lives. And it's troubling, man. You know, I speak y'all up all the time. I talk about y'all. I say, look, man, y'all need to see a therapist. Like, we all need to see us, especially in the Black community. We need to see a therapist, you know? So my question now is, who do you talk to? Like, not in particular, you know, you don't have to give names or anything like that, but do you have a support system that you talk to? Because I know it can be draining, you know, having conversations with people, with kids, especially when it comes to the kids, because a lot of times you already have that feeling in your heart that nothing shouldn't be happening to them anyway. You know, right. We see kids as pure. We see kids as, you know, innocent and things like that. Right. So I know, obviously you're not, I don't want you to get into any type of specific instances or whatever, but I know there are probably some occasions where you just like, man, like you just had to go home and take and have a drink. You're like, man, it was just, you know, yeah. So what type of support system do you have? Like, who helps the helpers? Who helps you?
Well, I do. My closest friend here in Baton Rouge, she's also a LPC. So I can kind of bounce things off of her and get some perspective. And I do have a couple of other close friends that, you know, if I have something going on, you know, they're right there. They're ready, willing and ready, you know, listen and offer sound advice. But, you know, some days I think to myself, like, maybe I need to give me a counselor.
Yeah.
And other days, it's some of the stories, like you said, some of the stories that I hear, and I just come home and be like, I just need a drink because I can't believe I just heard that. Like,
right.
But yeah, so I do have a, you know, set of friends that I think, you know, I know they're there no matter what, no matter what I need, they're available to, you know, talk to me, and I could run things by them, and I know they're going to tell me not what I want to hear, but what I need to hear.
Right, right. And that's the best kind of friends to have. You know, someone who can just tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. It may be a hard pill to swallow, obviously, but, you know, it's a pill to help you get better nonetheless.
Right.
Do you ever think back to your previous career path? Like, do you ever think back to that and be like, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I would have went this route instead of going with counseling, like your curriculum?
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, you know, the plans I had made for myself, they didn't quite go as planned. But you know, I've like, they just, that wasn't what was, I guess, meant to be. So.
Right.
Yeah. But I think about it sometimes.
Yeah. I would think so too, because I mean, either way it goes, you were in the business of helping others anyway, you know?
Right.
I definitely think this particular role, that you have is going to be something that is one for the history books, because you never know, you may be very instrumental in change. Well, obviously you are instrumental in changing people's lives, you know, kids' lives as well as adults too. Like pretty much anyone that you interact with, I would think so. So, you know, all I can say really is just keep on keeping on, you know, keep up the good fight. And if you haven't heard it, I, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. And I appreciate everything that you stand for when it comes to helping the kids, and just being there for the kids and being there for just being a responsibility to the people that need help. You know what I mean? And I applaud you for that. And I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
So where can everyone find you? Where do you have social media, or do you have a website or anything?
I do not have a website. I do have Instagram.
Okay.
I think my Instagram name is RA12CM. And I'm also on Twitter. And my name on Twitter is Lighthearted9. It's one word, LIGHTHEARTED, and the number 9.
Awesomeness. Awesomeness. So you don't mind if people ask you questions and stuff, right?
No, I'm fine. No, okay. That's fine.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Well, good. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Rachel Thomas. I really appreciate the conversation. It's been very helpful. You've given us a lot of information. You've given me some insight on certain things. And again, I feel a calling of my heart to do more for people, especially for the kids. And I don't know exactly where God is going to place me. And I don't know exactly how God is going to what God is going to show me or, you know, place me in a position to be able to do what I want, what needs to be done. But I feel it coming. And I believe having this conversation with you makes me one step closer towards that goal.
Awesome.
So thank you so much. So thank y'all so much, very much for listening into this episode of I'ma Keep Going. And we will be right back with the Keep Going moment. Hey, y'all, it's Eric. And, you know, I've been thinking of better ways to try and be more efficient during this whole COVID crap. And it's been pretty nuts going to the stores and seeing either out of stock items, buku people in the store, or even worse, someone that has to quarantine. Ugh. Well, it's safe to say there is a better way out there. And that's why I partnered with Instacart to help you get those groceries that you really need to your door as fast as 1 hour. You heard me, 1 hour. And you just simply download the app, you give your preferences, and the Instacart shoppers will get the products you love from your local stores. And yep, I also said stores. That means you can shop at multiple stores on one single order. So no more going through the supermarket delivery service where you're only able to get a few items that you need and still got to wait for hours to get your groceries. Look, I don't even want the damn avocados no more. I needed them for my smoothie 2 hours ago, you know? So check out Instacart, y'all. Click on the link in the show notes to let them know that I sent you and go shopping. That casserole is waiting for you. Instacart. Never step foot in a grocery store again. Welcome back to the I'ma Keep Going podcast, and here is your Keep Going moment. While going through flipping around on shows on HBO, I watched a little bit of Batman vs. Superman. I didn't really care for it too much. I mean, it was too dark for me. But I guess I'm used to the big supernatural, superhero, blockbuster, intergalactic space infinity stone movies. Yes, I am Team Marvel over DC. I mean, I just believe they do it better, in my opinion. Sorry. But at any rate, I began wondering about the people who know Superman. I mean, obviously he's a superhero and he helps everyone else around him, but who really helps him? It was a fleeting thought that simply passed until perusing through HBO once again and I saw this show called In Treatment. It's essentially a show about a therapist that talks to patients all episode. There's like 4 patients each season and he talks to them like 4 different times. It's a very thought-provoking show and it's really, really good. Even though it's just a series and, you know, people are acting, obviously, the writing is impeccable and it makes you feel like you're a fly on a wall and you can relate to some of the patients. Well, as you're going through the series, one of the episodes is the therapist actually talking to a therapist. Yeah, he's a patient. And it got me to thinking again, who's there for Superman when he needs help? I mean, who helps the helpers when the helpers need help? Superman is the most powerful being in the universe, and who does he rely on? And then it hit me, his friends. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, at this time of COVID and everything that's going on in life, it's good to be there for someone at this moment. We don't know what's happening in somebody's life right now. Nowadays, the goals that we have set for our lives can be distracted so quickly, which can make us feel really unworthy. My goal for all of this was to be there for people who need help with something, even if it's just an opportunity to vent about something. You want to be there for someone at this time, especially if you're in a good space mentally and emotionally. Oftentimes we get wrapped up in how good we have it, whereas we forget the one simple rule to being successful in life, and that's helping others in the process. Maya Angelou said, "When we give cheerfully and accept gratefully, then everyone is blessed." It doesn't only mean money. It could mean time. It could also mean just giving a crying shoulder. What's important is the ability to help others in some capacity. And that's how we make a difference in life. And that is how we keep going. So thank you all so very much for listening in to this episode of I'm a Keep Going podcast, or IKG, like I like to call it. It has been a pleasure so much, y'all. And I'd like to thank Rachel Thomas so very much for chiming in and for giving her insight on everything that's going on with COVID and just with mental health. I really appreciate it. So until the next time, y'all, be safe out there. And as always, may the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. My name is Eric. I look forward to speaking to you guys and gals once again. And until the next time, y'all keep going. And I'll see you guys soon.